Hello, welcome. You're listening to episode 379, number 379 of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you for joining me. I'm Debbie Quain. If you're passionate about planning weddings for others, hopefully for a fee, that's what this show is all about. I'm broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. metro area, and we've got several people in the chat room. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm going to send out a message in just a moment to make sure that you can, but I'm recording this. I'm going to keep going for a second. All right. Today is Saturday, February the 7th. It's the first Saturday of the month, and typically what I try to do is to broadcast the show live on the first Saturday of each month. So today, actually, it falls under that those guidelines. Sometimes it changes. Good morning. A special good morning to those of you on the telephone line. I didn't promote the phone number, but I know many of you are familiar with the number. So if you're listening on the phone, a special good morning. And the majority of the folks are on the Confetti Live page, confettilive.com. There's a live chat room there. So please, I encourage you to head on over there and let me know where you're listening in from, your city and state, if you're here in the U.S. If you're overseas, let us know which country where you're listening in from. And it's a very friendly group here. The goal is to spend just a little under an hour talking about a variety of topics that can help us. Usually I kind of stick to answering questions. But today the topic is all about social media. And for those of you that know me, know that social media is something I do struggle with. Just had to get on the bandwagon. I really, really just had to get over myself and realize that social media is it's where everything is headed. And I've kind of been dragging my feet and have been making an extra effort just to, you know what it is? Because I was so reluctant, what it is when everyone zigs, I tend to zag. That's just me. And I figured, you know, let me see how this works. Let me give this a go. I don't want to sound like I'm completely archaic, but it's a time thing. And it's just, you know, that's how I kind of view social media. It's just like, oh. But I realized if I do things the right way, that it could possibly work out for me. Now, don't get me wrong. I totally understand the benefits, and I've seen the benefits that others and results that others have had with social media and their business. The problem for me is as much as I like to share and as much as I like to talk, clearly you know I like to talk, I'm still a very personal and private person. And what concerns me is the amount of information that people like tend to share on social media about their personal lives, about what they had for breakfast and where they're going and what they're doing. And a lot of times I'm thinking, why are you sharing all of that? So there's a fine line for me. So when I see that, I kind of just go, And what I'm doing is just pushing away the whole social media thing. And it's really not about that. There are bits and pieces that I think are very beneficial, and I know that. So for those of you that have listened to me ramble on for years, know that I have a bit of a struggle. So today I'm relying on you, my co-hosts in the live chat room, to sort of share and let me know what's working for you. I'm going to provide the basics because I'm a very factual person as to what each of the social media platforms are out there. And then let's see how we can interpret that to make it work for our business. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how many likes you have on Facebook or how many people are following you on Twitter if that doesn't equate to more booked business eventually, or developing your brand in some way, which ultimately comes back to the same point of more business. So it may not happen overnight, and I realize that, but I think sometimes we get lost and we focus on the wrong things. How many followers does this person have, or how many likes does this person have? And we're kind of looking at other people and thinking, wow, you know, she or he's doing so much better than I am. But what does that equate to at the end of the day? How does that benefit you and your wedding business? So that's kind of what I want to tackle today. Okay. But before I do that, again, for those of you in the let's see who's in the chat room. Good morning. I think the first out the gate was Helga, who at least acknowledged who entered her name in the chat room. Helga's calling in, listening in from the West Coast. So I'm here in D.C. Eastern time. It's just a little after 10 in the morning. And where Helga is, it's almost, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. God bless you, Helga. So we've got, I know Larissa is here in my neck of the woods. Janelle, I recognize your name. I know you're from Florida, if I'm not mistaken. Tinya, Maryland's Eastern Shore. Corey, good morning. JC, Minnis is calling in from is listening in from Florida. Engage Me Events, Diana Palmer, another Floridian, South Florida. And another Floridian, Andrea, is from Kissimmee. Is it Kissimmee? Kissimmee? Kissimmee. I'm putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. From Florida. As I said, Helga's in the Bay Area, Berkeley, California. We've got, so J.C. Minnis is in South Broward, West Park. So that's Florida, right? So we've got, I'm wondering what the temperature's like there. I think it's not supposed to be too bad here in D.C. Palm Beach County is for Diana Palmer. Okay, wonderful. So thank you so much for joining me, and let's kind of get to it. But as I said, before I do that, before we get into the meat and potatoes, as I like to say, just want to make sure that I share a few resources with you. I haven't talked about this one in a while. But we all have cell phones. I'm guessing you have your phone, your smartphone. That seems to be where we all are now. You know, the other day, this week, somebody, I was in a parking lot, and a gentleman was there. His car had been towed, and he asked me for a pen to write the number down. I guess he was looking at the signage for the towing company, and I realized he didn't have a phone. I thought, oh, my God, is that my mom I'm talking to? And I had to let him, I said, you know, here, use the phone to call the company. But I was really surprised that it was him and another woman, and neither one of them had a cell phone. I thought, wow, how unusual. But anyway, I digress. So I know we're using our cell phones, and I'm guessing that you're probably using your cell phone right now to manage your calls for your wedding business. Are you doing that? Well, I get that. A few years ago, that would have been so amateur, but that's what we do now. People are calling us on our calling us, and you know, we have our phones within inches. I'm guessing yours is in your hand right now. So, with your business, the thing is, how do you know when someone's calling you for business reasons or personal reasons, unless you have two separate phones or two separate numbers or some way of identifying? And one of the methods, one of the resources that I have used for so many years is Freedom Voice. Freedom Voice is VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol, which means it's not really a phone, it's a virtual phone. And what this allows me to do is to use a number, to provide a number to anyone else, to anyone, but it's only related to business. And what it does is I can provide share my business number without sharing my personal cell number. What happens is when someone calls that business number, it's ringing on my cell phone because I've programmed it that way. It also actually goes through, when the call comes in, there are a chain of numbers that I've programmed. If I don't get it on my cell phone, it'll ring on my landline. Can you believe I have a landline? And it will keep doing that. And when the call comes in, I know instantly when I pick up the phone that it's a call for my business, because the recording says that. You have a call from your Freedom Voice system. So at that point, I can now put on my professional voice, take the call and say, good morning, Debbie Coyne speaking. How may I help you? So the call has come in on my cell phone, but the caller in the meantime is hearing my hold music, a hold message, and waiting for me to pick up the phone. Also means that if I'm not available to answer the phone, I can have someone else answer calls for me, one of my colleagues, or sometimes put my daughter to work and have her on the chain of calls. Because what's happening is the system is going to keep ringing numbers until someone answers. And in the meantime, it's all happening very quickly. The person who dialed the number is hearing hold music or hold message. So this is a really great way to still use your cell phone, but A, provide a separate number so people aren't bothering you on your cell number. You can change your number, you know, several times, but your business number will always remain the same. And secondly, it also means that you, I lost my train of thought there. Sorry, I looked at the chat. Oh, bright and shiny objects. Also means that you're prepared for when that call comes in. If you're in a place that you cannot take that call, you can reject it. Person gets voicemail and you can call back right away. And as I said, you can also pass the call off to someone else. So if you're going away, or going to be out of town, or just at some place where you can't accept calls, then you can have someone else manage calls for you. It's a very professional resource for your business. The good part about Freedom Voice is it's very affordable. Less than $10 a month. So team that up with your cell phone bill. I think you'll find it's a really, really great resource for your business. So jot down, tryfreedomvoice.com. tryfreedomvoice.com. And what you'll do is you'll get to a page, you can pick out a number, either a toll-free number or a local number, and try the service out for 30 days. I think it's 30 days. It's at least 30. It might be 45, but it's at least 30 days. And see if it works for you. If it doesn't work for you, no harm, no foul, let it go. But I've used it for several years. I know there are several people in the chat room. Larissa says she loves Freedom Voice, and their customer service is great. That's a good point, Larissa. Thank you. Because you can actually call and speak to someone. Isn't that like a dying thing, a dying breed now? You can call customer service and speak to someone. Janelle is saying she agrees. I think she's referring to Freedom Voice. Janelle, are you using Freedom Voice also? It's a really good service. So check out tryfreedomvoice.com. You'll see there's a number where you can contact and speak to someone. You can personalize it and all do all kinds of things that you want to do. You know, either record the greeting yourself or go on fiverr.com and have someone record the greeting for you. A lot of different things that you can do with the service. But you'll know instantly, you know, if you have a message, if you've missed a call, listen on your phone. It works out really, really well. So I advise you check out tryfreedomvoice.com. I don't recommend anything to you that I haven't tried and had great success with myself. So please check out tryfreedomvoice.com. I know you may be using a service like Google Voice. Google Voice can probably get you to the same place. The thing with Google Voice is, unless there's a different option, the person calling knows that you're using Google Voice. And to me, that's a little bit less than professional. To me, that's a very personal opinion. And I think if I'm running a business and want to give the impression, I'll let people know how professional I am, I don't want them to hear things like that they're using Google Voice. They can get Google Voice. So I don't want to have the same thing that any amateur or any other person could use. I want them to know they have arrived at a business, a place of business, and there's some trustworthiness going on. Not saying that if you have Google Voice, you're not trustworthy, but it's all about that impression. You don't get that second chance to make the first impression. And Freedom Voice does give you that very professional thing, finish, look, right? Okay. All right. So getting back, I'm just looking at the chat. Every now and then I have to take a break. I have this problem, many problems, but one of them is that I get very excited about certain topics and then I speak and sometimes don't take a breath. It's amazing I haven't conked out and passed out on the floor yet. So I have to remember to take a breath. Sometimes I listen to my recordings. I'm like, oh my gosh, Debbie, how fast can you speak? Slow down. So my apologies there. Okay, so we're talking about social media. And I don't know how it works for you. Again, I said it's been a bit of a struggle with me, but I'm kind of getting on board. It's just the way that everything is headed. It's just what we do now. I want to talk about a few different platforms that are out there. I did, you know, I sent out a text message to the people on the confetti list. So, by the way, if you're in the United States or in Canada and would like to know, because we forget things, I don't expect you to remember. God knows I keep changing the time of the live shows. But to get a text reminder of when the show goes live, all you have to do is text the word confetti to 71441. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can do that. So yesterday, I sent out a text message to this list, to our list, the Confetti Insiders list. And I asked the question, and it went out kind of the way I thought it was going to. If you got the message, you didn't know who the heck is sending this. It was me. So the question I asked was, what's the best social media platform for your wedding business? And then I listed what I thought were the top five. I listed Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and Google Plus. Is that five? One, two, three. Yes, I can still count, right? Is that five? One, two, three. Yes, that's five. Sorry. And I asked, you know, so you either text one for one number, two for another. So I asked, what's the best social media platform for your wedding business? What do you think was the top answer? What do you think came back out of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+? What do you think the top response was? And that's for those of you in the chat room. I'll just wait to hear what you think about that. And those are the ones, I mean, there are other platforms out there, but those seem to be the ones that are the top. Larissa is saying Instagram. Janelle's or Facebook. Janelle's saying Facebook. Diana's saying Facebook. Corey, Facebook. Janelle and Instagram. Titania, Facebook. Well, yeah. Yeah. 60% out of, and went out to it. There were a few hundred people on the list. Not everybody responded, of course. But yeah, Facebook was the top answer. 60% of you said that Facebook is what you're using for your wedding business. What do you think was the second thing after Facebook? Yeah, the next was Instagram. Yeah, Instagram was next. So I knew Facebook was going to be up there, but for some reason I thought Pinterest was going to be up there. But Instagram seems to have just taken over. I know my daughter's on it all the time. So we're going to talk a little bit about the different platforms, but Yeah, Facebook and then Instagram, and then it was Pinterest. It was a tie between Pinterest and Google Plus, and then way at the bottom was Twitter. Way at the bottom was Twitter. I wasn't completely surprised by that, because Twitter's a very noisy social media. But it's sort of like now. You only have a few characters to say what you got to say, and almost as soon as you say it, it's sort of, it's like push, it's buried down. Janelle is saying Pinterest is time consuming to me. Okay. And I mean, I'd love to be able to chime in. I don't know. I think I created a Pinterest, is it a page, profile, and did absolutely zip zero with it. So social media is time consuming, but the rewards, I think, can be there, possibly. So for you guys, tell me, what for those of you that are using Facebook right now, you're saying it's your best social media platform. What makes it so great? Is it, are you getting booked business? Is it into, let me rephrase that. For Facebook, what is your goal with Facebook? To get customers, to put yourself out there in the best possible way? Tell me, what's the big deal with Facebook? I'd love to hear. And just so that we know, you know, Facebook is considered to be the giant of social media. And it's known for its, the whole thing about Facebook, and I don't want to insult your intelligence, but you know how I am. I just got to make sure we all get what all these different platforms do. And the thing with Facebook is it's known for, you have the ability to send messages and active notifications. And then you can make groups and company pages. So you got a profile, which is the personal part. And then a company page would be, you know, you, your company, your brand. And the goal is to get people to like. There's a like button. And when you post your notification or your update or whatever it is you have to say, the goal is hopefully that people are going to like it. And when people are liking it, it's sort of they're responding. They're sort of giving you a thumbs up for that. So the thing with Facebook is you want to try to share as much unique content as you possibly can. Because having there's a lot of false stories going around on Facebook. That much I know. As little time as I spend on there, I know that I hear some really out-of-the-way stories and posts that are not accurate. And you want to work towards getting whatever it is that you're posting to get them shared and liked heavily. And both what those do, those increase the chances of people learning more about you. Again, I don't know what the direct result is with regard to getting customers. Janelle saying, you know, to bring awareness to the company, to share tips, to show them some skills. I like that. So it's sort of like developing your brand, right? That's what you're saying for Facebook. Let's take a listen. I asked a couple of you, I'd asked the last time around to get your feedback with regard to what social media platforms you were using. And let's hear from Janelle.
Hey, Confetti listeners. This is Janelle with Spring at Events. I was just calling to mention my experience with social media and how it's been helpful with getting my business some traffic per se. What I've done is I have searched for different groups within the area, I'm from Orlando, such as Orlando Wedding Planners, Orlando Bride Needs and Wants, and so on and so forth. And then I just simply share different tips in these different groups, maybe every other day, just to kind of keep the buzz going so that people know that I'm there. And it brings a lot of traffic back to my Facebook page, thereby leading people to my website. And I've been getting a lot of hits with different guides that I just recently created. So I think that's a great way to get people to your page. I hope this helps.
Thank you, Janelle. Janelle, you're here in the chat room, right? This is the same Janelle. I think so. So Janelle is saying that she's part of several groups, Facebook groups. We had a group for Confetti at one point, and to be honest, I just didn't like the tone of where that group was going. It was so I ended up closing it. Some of you may remember that. Oh, Janelle, it is you. Thank you so much. Very, very good comment. I really appreciate your feedback. I love hearing your voices as opposed to the voices I normally hear. So Janelle is saying she's using it as a branding tool, a sharing tool. A lot of giving with social media because it's changed. People kind of have to get to know us. And that's what really seems to be, remember I said right at the beginning, that was part of my issue. A major part of my issue is what do you share? Because people do business with the people we like and trust. And what I do agree with and like about social media is people get a chance to know you, the person. Years ago, not that long ago, we were all trying to be the big corporate company and trying to give off the vibe that we were some almost like a Fortune 500. That has flipped. It's changed now. we want people to get to know us personally, and social media is allowing us to do that. So Janelle is saying that she's using Facebook groups and she's posting information and letting people know that she knows what she's talking about, and then leading them to her website. The thing is with social media, what you have to be ready for is you have to decide what exactly is it you want people to do when they get to your website, because it seems like that's what we're driving people. No matter what platform you're using, what is it that you want them to do when you get to your website? Because your website has to then be more than an online brochure. You've got to now get somebody to take some kind of action. Do you want them to call you? Do you want them to sign up to get your free whatever it is, ebook, guide? You want them to come to your office? You have to then be very clear that when they come to your website, what it is you want them to do, because it doesn't matter what you're doing in social media if you're not ready to take them to the next step. Granted, not everybody's going to want to take the next step. They're going to just be some looky-loos. People are checking you out, your other wedding planners for sure. But for clients, for potential clients, you have to be ready to convert them into potential clients to clients. So you've got to be ready for what the next step is. And you actually have to tell them. You can't make that assumption. You have to make it very clear. Call us for a free consultation. Give me your email and I'm going to send you some information, because once they're gone, they're gone. You need to make sure you capture some information when they arrive at your website. So just, and that's not what this is about, kind of is, but you've got to be ready for that. JC Minnis is saying, Debbie, I am like you, old school, but Facebook is supposed to be the connector. But I have a problem with finding the time to constantly update the page and all that it takes to draw people to the page. My success is coming from word of mouth and referrals from satisfied, wow, the screen moved, clients. I'm still trying to work it, but it is a lot. You're right. It does take a lot. But thankfully, there are tools out there that can help us to be consistent. It may be something as simple as adding it to your workload, to your schedule. I have in the last few weeks, I don't know if you've noticed that I've made a conscious effort to add that to what it is that I do. But you're right, it does take a lot of time. And I'm not sure always if the rewards are there. So that's what I'm asking you. Are you seeing the rewards when people are following you and liking your page and liking your posts? Is it equating to more business? Is it getting you to where you want to be? Helga saying, before Helga, Corey Ann saying, the part I don't like about Facebook is the people who like your page have to be very active on it to get all your posts to show up on their newsfeed. So only a small amount of your likes actually see what you post. Yes. And that's the other thing I have. You know, I'm here to promote social media and here I'm dogging at the same time. The thing is, you're not in control on any social media platform. You're at the whim and mood swing of whoever it is that's running the gig, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They can decide tomorrow we're changing things up. And you don't have any control of that. You have to go along with it. So you have to balance social media and make sure that it's not the only place where you're doing what you do. Again, the goal is to get people to come to your home. Although there's a lot of stuff going on in social media, people are checking out Facebook and looking at their Twitter feed and going on Instagram, but you at some point have to draw them in to your home, to your place. The next thing that came up, the popular thing after Facebook was Instagram. And this, like I said, I thought it was going to be Pinterest. So Instagram is a photo and a video sharing platform. I think you can share videos up to 15 seconds, right? And the whole idea, I think, behind Instagram, remember I've been doing a bit of my homework, is that it's not a hard sell. It's really, again, for people to get to know you. You can get to share your interests. It's sort of the behind-the-scenes actions. And it's really focused on mobile. It's all based on the phone. I don't think you can... Can you even do that from your desktop? Am I the only person still using a desktop? But it's a mobile-friendly platform. So it's not a hard sell. So your followers will get to learn more about the brand, which is more, I'm guessing, is you. And your and then you can share how customers are using your service, if you have a product. So you get to show the fun side of who you are. But just think about, and as I said, it's a picture photo sharing platform. And again, videos, 15 seconds, I think the limit is on that. So just think about, what do you want to see when you look at someone else's pictures? What would you like to see? And, you know, I think action photos are really great when people can see what it is that you're doing or your customers. And hashtags, which I always forget to do. Hashtags is sort of, you know, when you see the number sign and then whatever that word is. And that what that really does is it helps to filter. So when people are screening for certain things, they can find it by entering a hashtag. So hashtags link into what's trending. And so like a lot of the times when I'm updating, when I'm posting on Twitter, I'm using the word wedding. I almost always forget to put the hashtag in front of wedding. But if I do that, then when someone's searching, there's a better chance that I'm going to show up. Again, crowded thing. Twitter's crowded. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But it really, there's a lot to remember until you're doing it, you know, it's a repetitive task for you. Still a struggle for me. But what is it equating to for you? And also, you got to figure out where are your potential clients? Where are they hanging out? It may not be across the board. Because if you're a wedding specialist, meaning you have a niche, then some of your demographics, meaning the, you know, the age, the profile, the gender, where your folks live, may depend on what platform is their favorite. And basically, we have to be where our clients are, where our potential clients are. So it's important for you to know, who am I going after? Who am I chasing after? Who's my ideal client? And it cannot just be someone getting married within a certain radius away from where you're located. It's got to be more than that. I have been using Buffer to get a lot of my posts done. So what I'm doing is I've almost become, what's happened is there's a lot of content. Years ago, when I first started Weddings for a Living, I was writing a lot of content because there wasn't a whole lot of content that I could find about being a wedding planner. That has changed significantly. So what's happened now, there's a lot of content, there's a lot of information out there. So it's almost like we have now, instead of being creators, we have become curators. You're finding information and sharing it with your audience. And you've got to find the good stuff, weed out the good stuff. So there's still you're creating stuff, but you got to, there's a lot of stuff out there already. And although you don't want to continually send people away from your site or from away from you, it's still about sharing, and social media, it's become a two-way platform too. So it's a two-way conversation. It's not just me saying, this is what I have to share for you, to tell you. It's me saying, what do you think about this? Give me your thoughts. And that's what we're waiting for people to like us, for people to follow us. So it's a two-way conversation, but it also requires time. We've got to invest time. The key that I found where I struggle with this, though, with any social media platform, I'm saying it like I'm on so many of them, I'm not. It's being consistent, because you don't want to get going, ramping up and get into the habit of posting daily. And then next 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month or two goes by and you don't do anything. And then you start again. In our business, there's not a whole lot of repeat business for weddings. And that's one of the downsides of what we do. So it's sort of like now or never. You have a very short window of time, window of opportunity for people to see what it is that you're doing. So if you're gung-ho for a few days and then you stop and then you're back, you're missing that window. But when people get used to seeing good information from you, as Janelle said, she's posting information, you have to be consistent with that. And using a tool like Buffer, there's Hootsuite, there are lots of different tools out there that can help you to be more consistent. And it may be something as simple as putting that reminder and deciding, okay, on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, and on Sundays, I've got to devote some time to deciding what it is that I want to post on which social media platform. Let's see. The next social media platform, what was the next one? After Instagram, it was Pinterest. I thought Pinterest was going to be way up there. So this is another visual social media platform, but it focuses on sharing photo content in collections. And the collections are the boards, and then there are like visual bookmarks, which are pins. So if you hover over go to certain websites, a lot of websites, then you can pin certain images. And the key is that the image that you pin and share goes back to the person who originally pinned it. So you have to be careful. You're not taking credit for it. You're saying, you know, love this, love these beautiful sky blue shoes, and then when someone clicks on that image, it goes back to the place where those blue shoes originated, where the site that had the picture posted. So Pinterest seems to go hand in hand with what we do, because planning weddings, a very visual thing. I don't know who here would is using Pinterest on a regular basis. I heard somebody saying in the chat room that it takes a lot of time. My daughter, I have to ask my daughter, I'm like, what is she doing? what platform was her favorite. Twitter, not so much now. At one time it was, but she's saying she does a lot with Pinterest. When she's looking for certain things and she searches, a lot of these Pinterest pages are coming up. They're showing up. And as a result of that, that made me think, well, I guess it would make sense for weddings. Let me just look at the chat real quick. What are we saying here? It's a lot of information here. Oh, Helga was saying, I have an Instagram account, but learn how to fully, haven't, but learn, oh gosh, I can't keep up with this thing here. Let me copy your stuff, Helga, and then I can paste it. What happens is when I'm reading it, and then as more comments come in, Helga says, I have an Instagram account, but learn how to use, to fully use it yet. Maybe you said, haven't learned how to fully use it yet. I have a Pinterest account. I definitely use that. Created various boards, but Facebook is my favorite. Okay. I'm very interactive on that site, and I usually connect my business bike with my personal site post things from my business. I rather to my personal site feeds to get more looks and hits, and it seems to work so that the platform works so, and that the platform everybody's using. All right. So Helga's seems to be, although she has a Pinterest account, she's using Facebook. Diana's saying she likes Pinterest for inspiration and ideas. All a Bride Needs, I love that name, is on Pinterest. Corey says, I use Pinterest for inspiration and ideas too. Plus, I can usually follow my clients' Pinterest boards to see what they like and are pinning for their events. So I know for Pinterest, and I found this out last year, haven't utilized that feature, is that you can create private boards, right? So with Pinterest, what we're doing is a very visual thing. So if your clients have said to you, you know, we really like the, I don't know, we want to go with a Disney theme, although we're not having our wedding at Disney, we want to incorporate some of those elements in our wedding. So then you may go ahead to the point of creating a board and pinning various images to create that board. Now, you can share that with your client, share that to the world, but you can also create a private board. I believe that's how it works with Pinterest. So I can see the benefits of that. Now, that of course, that's not necessarily getting you business, but if you already have a client or someone who's a warm lead, someone who's seriously interested, you've had a conversation, interaction with, then creating a private Pinterest board could work for you too. I don't know if anyone's had any luck with that, but when I heard about that, that was immediately appealing to me as a way to collect, this is a collage of sorts for clients. Let's talk a little bit about Google Plus. So Google Plus gives you a chance, same thing. You get to share links and photos and videos, but it's most well known for having circles. So circles allow you to target the postings on what content you're going to share. So you may have a circle if you are, let's see, you're, let me think about it. You're someone who is long distance running. Maybe you have a circle of people who fit into that category. Your wedding planner, so you have your fellow wedding associates, or maybe people who are just wedding fanatics. So you have these different circles. So the idea is that you can determine if you're sharing what you've got, sharing your thoughts, your posts, your links, your videos with everyone, or maybe what you're sharing is just going to a specific circle. But and only people within that circle would see what it is you're posting. But the thing with Google Plus is you want to collect as many circles as you possibly can, but you really want to post publicly so that people can see what it is that you're sharing. Google Plus is great for sharing material that's trending. And again, as with all the other platforms, you've got to post regularly. It does take time. You don't need to sign up for every social media platform out there. You really don't. And I think some of us think that we need to be on Google Plus, we need to be on Instagram, we need to be on Pinterest, we need to be on Twitter, we need to be on Facebook. Pick one, maybe two, and just start with one and see how that works out for you. Again, if you have something like Buffer, you can actually post to several different platforms simultaneously. You can schedule. So if you know there's something that you're going to want to share, like I love reggae music. I always say I only love sweet reggae music. It has to be really good reggae music. I'm very particular. Yesterday, Bob Marley would have been 70 years old. So it was all over the place. And if I found posts that I knew I wanted to share on different social media platforms, has nothing to do with weddings, but I scheduled that those posts to go out yesterday to coincide with the birthday. So it doesn't mean that you have to wait until that time to post that information. So if it's something that has to be timed, you can do that. Again, you can either do it yourself or get an app or some sort of software that can help you do that. I'm paying $10 a month, I believe, for Buffer. I think it's well worth that because it gives me a chance to really focus. And if I don't have anything to share, Buffer will even provide some suggestions for you. You know, sometimes it's a quotation, sometimes it's a great story. So you can get some help. You can get help along the way. There are even agencies that will do these things for you, that will post for you. But, you know, the beauty is people want to get to know you. So you've got to post things that are interesting to you. The thing is finding time and being consistent about that. Let's hear from someone else, Kathy, I believe, who's in Florida, and see what her thoughts are about social media.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, from Weddings by Kathleen. And the only social media that I am using right now is Facebook. I'm not into Twitter or Instagram or hashtags. I'm not sure if that's going to hurt my business or not. Maybe I need to start tweeting or learning about all these other social medias, but I find I just do not have the time to keep up with it all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I can relate to Kathy. Thank you so much. It's just keeping up with everything. You don't have to be a part of every platform out there. And if she's having great success with Facebook, stick with Facebook. Again, you have to find out what it is. Well, first you have to know who your ideal client is. Who is your target customer? And then where typically is that person showing up? Where are they going? Because that's where you need to be. So if you're spending all your time on Twitter, but your research shows that your potential clients couldn't give a hoot. Oh my gosh, it was almost a pun there. Couldn't care less about Twitter. Then that's not the platform that you want to spend a lot of your time on. I would suggest still if you can secure profiles in your name. So just for branding purposes. So if your company name is XYZ Weddings, I would still secure. I know it sounds like I'm squatting, which is really what you're doing. I want to have the Twitter handle for XYZ Weddings. I want to get the Instagram handle for XYZ Weddings. Pinterest XYZ Weddings, just so for the branding purposes, because I don't want someone else looking for me on a platform when I'm not there. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are about that, having a profile and not having any information there. But for me, I just want to make sure that I secure the brand that is me. And maybe a month, a week from now, then I'll decide to take action on that. So I think that's a good thing to do. But you don't have to be engaged on every single platform. Do what works for you. Again, what is it equating to? Is it, if you're doing it just because everyone's doing it, I don't know if that's the right thing to, I don't know if that makes any sense. What's the point of doing something? Because here's the thing, when we're in business for ourselves, I want to enjoy what it is that I'm doing. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm getting old. I just don't want to do stuff. I don't want to do crap that I have no enjoyment doing anymore. I just don't. So am I going to miss out? Probably so. Is it going to be the end of the world? I don't think so. I don't think so. If you're not getting enjoyment out of what you're doing, why bother? Now, having said that, there are some things you're going to have to do as a business owner. We don't want to pay taxes. You better pay your taxes. But what I'm talking about, where it comes to social media, why spend time doing something that's going to be that you're not enjoying? I think that's just going to drag you down. Why do it? So find one that you think is working for you, where your potential clients are, and give that a go. Posting once a day or posting on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, if that's what works for you, then go with that. Then go with that. At least you have a presence there. And don't just post and share things for the sake of it. Make sure it's something that you find interesting and, more importantly, that you think your audience wants to hear about and see. Do you agree? I don't think that you need to get stuck and buried in something just because that's what everyone's doing. Can I say MySpace? Do you remember when MySpace was a thing? What happened to MySpace? It just disappeared. It to me, these are the things that are trending, and you have to decide if you want to be part of that trend. I don't think it's the end of the world, and I know I'm going to get backlash for that. I just don't think it's the end of the world if you're not on every social media platform out there. And if you're not active on it, well, what's the point? What's the point? All a bride needs says in Nigeria, most brides to be are on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. So Twitter and Google Plus don't work for me. No clients there. Bingo. No need. You've taken care of that. You're not even worrying about Twitter and Google Plus. Okay, fair enough. So find out what works for you and find out where your potential clients are going and make sure you're there. Do your best to be there and share really good information with them. I've learned some things, but I will tell you this. Social media, going through and making a conscious effort, I've learned about Nigerian weddings. I've learned about Persian weddings. I've learned that having a geek or nerdy wedding is actually a theme and a popular one at that. So it's just opened my eyes. I'm like, wow, really? And it's almost like you become this, it makes you think. And it's given me ideas for looking at things and looking at weddings in a completely different way. Dave Ramsey, who by all accounts is a great financial expert, had some feedback about weddings and budgets and how that fits in. Very interesting information that I can share with potential clients. It may not be something that I want to share with every client, but when I'm ready to draw that card, as I like to say, I will. Because I learned information from him that I wouldn't have found if I hadn't been actively looking for information that I wanted to share on the social media platforms that I'm trying my best to be a part of. Helga's saying, I agree, we're not journalists. We are wedding and event planners. Amen. So you have to balance it all. And if it's taking you away from what it is the primary goal, which is to find clients for your wedding business, I think it's pointless. Also, please, please, please don't forget, we provide an offline service. I know everybody has their smartphone, their tablets, and are online, but we still have to get out there and pound the pavement and meet with people. Social media is not everything. I think it is just a segment of what we do. So don't get caught up in it. And please, please don't lose sleep over it. Again, I'm going to get backlash for that. I just don't think it's that serious. I know it can help us and propel us to where we need to be. But at the end of the day, I think it doesn't top what it is that we do. We provide wedding planning services to our clients. We need more clients. I know we do. But who is it that said that word of mouth and referrals are getting them a lot of business? Talking to vendors are going to get you a lot of business. Really, 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 really. They're going to help bring business your way. So don't put things out of order with social media. Now, if you're going to town with social media, I know you're thinking, well, you know, Debbie doesn't know what she's talking about. If it's working for you, that's great. But don't miss out on the equation. Having 2,000 Twitter followers but no booked business for the last year, I don't see the point. I don't get it. If it's not equating to people coming through your door, what is it all for? Bragging rights? Nah. I'm just not on board with that. So I'm here to tell you about social media, but I'm sort of knocking it at the same time. So I don't want to, I'm not here. You get to decide, but I'm just thinking if it's something you're struggling with, don't think you just need to jump on the bandwagon. Again, I'm talking about MySpace. MySpace was at one point that was the be all and end all. It's disappeared. I don't know where Facebook and Twitter and Instagram will be a year from now. It could have propelled into a different arena. It could have died down. Facebook has changed so many of its rules. At one point, you could post stuff on Facebook, and it would be your followers would see that information. Who was it that said that a few moments ago? It's become harder, much more difficult now for the information that you want to share to actually be shared. I'm more on board again. Call me old school. I want to bring people back to my website. I want them to see the information that I'm sharing, and I want to get their information too. I'd like to get their email if I can, or at least their phone number so that I can text them information. But I want them, when they're on my website, it's less crowded and they're focusing on what I have to share. Facebook, how many times you go on Facebook and then you've clicked, before you know it, you've spent half an hour and you've gone to a completely different story, completely different post. So it has its advantages. I know it does, but please don't get to the point where it's controlling what it is that you do as a wedding business owner. I don't think she's here today. Clarissa, Miss Shop Taste Dance, has had great success with Instagram. I remember her saying so, and I think she actually is part of another talk show that I think she contributes to. And Instagram was a part of that. The way I look at it is Facebook is a great way to connect with people on a personal level that you haven't found, that you know but haven't found, but also works, of course, with the page aspect. Twitter is to find new people. I think you can cross paths with a lot of people that you didn't know were out there. Google Plus kind of gives you a chance to show what you know. But again, if the people that you need to get in touch with are not on those platforms, pointless. Instagram, again, I thought Pinterest, I think, goes really well with what we do for a business. It's a little more time consuming, but I think it's a great way to do some one-on-one with potential clients and clients. Instagram gives somebody the opportunity to get to know the real you, who you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking, what are you sharing, what are you doing behind the scenes. And there's some intrigue with that. I mean, can you say reality show? We all want to know what the real deal is, what's really going on behind the person. Guest 60 says, thanks, Debbie. I have woken up in the middle of the night in a panic because I think I'm not doing enough. You know what? Me too. But it's we're human. I believe I'm speaking to you. You're human, right? We can only do so much. So decide, pick a platform, figure out a posting schedule, go with that and see how that works out for you. And if it's bringing you business that you can't even handle, I'd love to hear about it. If your presence on social media has brought in so much business for you that it's overwhelming, I want to hear from you because you have something to share with the rest of us. I'd love to know how that works. But it has more to do with people getting to know you and to get, you know, getting to know your brand. Twitter is a platform that allows a maximum, I think it's 140 characters for each post. So it's primarily used on your mobile phone, kind of like Instagram. And you get to share links and photos. The quality of the content you're sharing is really important, too, as is interaction. Now, I fall short with this because I've still got to figure out this Follow Friday and retweeting and following people back and the hashtag thing. So Twitter is a very crowded thing. As soon as you, it's almost instantly as you post something, it's outdated, right? So I remember we talked to Brian Lawrence, who used to work for Encore Invitations, and I think Sell the Bride is his site, sellthebride.com. He says it's a very noisy platform. So Twitter, it's a little difficult, I think, for us wedding planners to get much traction out of that. Again, I'd love to hear from you if you're in the chat room, if Twitter has worked for you. You can make some good connections, but getting your message across might be a little more difficult as a wedding planner. Janelle says, I totally agree. It's really just an easy way to be found, and it's great to promote bridal happy hours. I don't think I will get tons of business through, what's SN? What is that? What does that mean? But if you do it, in my opinion, it needs to be nice because it sometimes is a part of the first impressions. Commit to it or do away with it. Oh, SN, did you mean social media? Is that what you meant? SN, meaning N was supposed to be M. She says she doesn't. Oh, social media. Thank you, M. You say, Janelle says she doesn't do Twitter. And no need to apologize. I know how fast you're typing. Yeah, it's, so Janelle doesn't do Twitter. Helga says, I have a Twitter account, but prefer to use it for events. Okay. Here's a question for you. How are you deciding your profile? Do you tweet? Are you on Instagram? Are you on Facebook as you, the person, or are you doing it as you, the business? Because I have the Twitter account handle, Debbie Quain. But I also have a Twitter account, which has been there for a while, but I've never promoted, is Weddings for a Living, Wed for a Living. I think at this, as we're speaking now, I think I have a total of 18 followers. I know, you're proud of me. 1-8. But it's because I haven't promoted Twitter. Maybe I need to put the feed on the website. So Janelle says she does it as the business. Guest 500 said, Twitter is difficult to use for me. Instagram, I use it as a business. Okay. Denise says, I do me, the business. Janelle says, but she shares a lot. Okay. So as a business for all my small platforms, as all a bride needs. So I think certain things just lend themselves, certain platforms lend to being an individual. So I think, me personally, with my limited knowledge, Instagram, I think that would be me. I would want to post about me, Debbie. Facebook, I would do the page, my business. Twitter, I'd probably do me too, and one for the business. Pinterest would probably be, it's a tough one. I don't know. I have me, Debbie Quain. Again, there's nothing there. But you have to decide, you know, are you the business? Are you one and the same? Because, like I told you, I have this infinite, I'm in love with reggae music and have worked and currently working with a few people in that industry. I love weddings. I also love working with local small businesses. So there's a lot of different things that goes on in this crazy head of mine. So on Debbie Quain, really, what should be going on? I think it's fair for me to share interests with all of those things, but still have a platform for each of them individually. So right now I've given myself extra work by having all these different profiles and for business and then me. So you see how easily it can just get out of control. And that's just one platform. So I don't know what's work. How do you tweet as you? Do you tweet as the business? Or is it all the same? And then I'm thinking, well, do people really want to know, you know, that I'm eating at this restaurant, enjoying the food? Do they really want to know that? Especially if they're looking to me as the person to deal with weddings. What do I share? What do I not? What do I hold back on? So that's a challenge for me. I don't know how that works for you. Guest says 725 says, I like to post as my business, but in some cases I have both business and personal accounts. You said you're going to follow me on Twitter. Okay. Thank you, Guest 725. I haven't been too bad. So my Twitter handle is Debbie Quain, and the Twitter handle for Weddings for Living is Wed for a Living. And then on this Confetti Talk Show, which really is just an official feed for whenever an episode posts. So that's at Confetti Talk. And then I'm on Google Plus as Weddings for Living. I think that's it, right? And then there's Facebook, Weddings for Living. I don't think I've ever done anything on Facebook for Confetti Talk. Oh my gosh. So it can become very overwhelming very, very quickly. Diana Palmer says, with Pinterest, I make my personal boards private. Okay, sweet. Helga says, the only personal page I have is Facebook. Oh, and LinkedIn. I didn't even talk about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a business-to-business platform, right? So I don't know if that works really well. I don't know how that works for us as wedding planners. I think it would be great if you're connecting and talking to other people in our industry, especially if you want to be known as an expert and maybe doing some talking and speaking. And the other thing is, you really want to vary what it is that you're doing. This might be slightly off topic. So we plan weddings, right? But it was Larissa Parks that opened my eyes to something a few months ago. And it was, it's slightly off topic, but I think it kind of connects. And Larissa shared the stat that I think it was around 85% of brides do not hire wedding planners. That woke me up because it meant to me, I'm chasing after the minority here. I'm really going after someone, after clients, potential clients who really aren't looking for what I'm selling. To me, that doesn't make the best business sense. Although, if I'm a specialist now, if I switch up a little bit and I focus on day of, which is a passion of mine now, that opens it up a little bit more because I know just from speaking to people, my own personal intel, my own personal research, people are more inclined to hire someone to be there on the wedding day. That was a no-brainer for me. I knew it before, but when Larissa shared that stat, that 85% of brides are not couples getting married and not hiring wedding plans, I realize I've got to up my odds. So you have to, how we look at weddings and how we deal with weddings, I think has to change. I don't know how well you can do by planning weddings, just solely planning weddings. I think you have to open it up. I think you have to have people on your staff, on your team to help you, right? And that means you've got to train people. And I believe that if you know what you're doing, you should be training others to plan weddings. So now not only are you a wedding planner, but you are now a wedding trainer, wedding planner trainer. And I think wherever you are in your world, there are people who want to do what you're doing. And if you can get yourself into a position where you're helping others to get there by A, training them, and then B, bringing them on board to work with you, that's a win-win. And if you're training people and as you become better known, then you can start charging people. That's another stream of income. Because I let's be honest here. I don't know how many wedding planners that you know of in your area that are doing this and making money hand over fist. If they're out there, I'm not hearing about them. There are celebrity wedding planners I hear about over and over and over again. But I think it's much more difficult to make a living planning weddings solely. For me, I want to either have a venue or a chapel. Chapel has always been in the back of my mind. I want to have a venue, and it's because I know that's where the business is. I know people are going to come in and want to have their wedding there, whether it's a ceremony, whether it's a reception, or whether it's both. So I'm beginning to rethink this wedding planning thing. I'm not saying don't do it, but I think we have to be real about our potential income, and how we can make this work for us. Many of us want to give up what it is that we're doing full time, and we want to plan weddings. But keep this real. If only a very small percentage of people getting married are hiring us, isn't that a little bit off? We've got to find some other ways to generate income. And I think we've got to be open to that and be honest to that. There are tons of training programs. There are tons of wedding planner certification programs. But I don't know how many of us are actually making sufficient money to do this. So I think we've got to start looking at this slightly differently. How can I make this work for me? Does it mean that you'll have to do more writing? Does it mean you will have to become a content provider, a person that creates content, or a journalist, as Helga says? Maybe that's what we have to do. Sharon Naylor, I think that's her name, has written tons of wedding planning books. I'm sure you may have read a couple of them. Sharon Naylor is not a wedding planner, but she knows about weddings because she's zoned in on it. She's written tons of books. I don't know how much money she's making from publishing books, but she's out there. She's renowned in our industry. So that's a different way of dealing with weddings. Do you maybe want to focus on destination weddings? I heard that come up in the last show. Maybe that's, and it all comes back to the specializing thing. You focus on destination weddings. If you're focusing on destination weddings, those stats increase a little bit now. Because when someone wants to get married someplace other than where they reside, the likelihood that someone's going to contact you increases because it's a lot more popular physically, or I just may not have the knowledge to know what to do with a destination wedding. My only option may be to contact someone at Sandals. But if I know you, the wedding planner focuses on destination weddings, you can probably help people from around the world. In fact, I know you can. Instantly now, you're not part of this small stat of 15% of people hiring you. It increases because people do need you. So instead of us looking at the things that are appealing to us, we have to look at what people want and then position ourselves in a place to give them what they want. And once we do that, then we can tailor our social media platforms towards that. Now we're not just a wedding planner. Either we're high-end destination wedding planners, or we do day of, or we focus on weddings at a certain place or a certain stage. Do you see what I mean? So I think you have to decide and keep this real. Where do I want to be? Do I just want to do this as a kind of every now and then thing? Or do I really want to make money doing this? And if I really want to make money doing this, I've got to stand out and do things differently. And then when I find out when I figure out which corner I want to be in, then I got to do my research and see what do people really want, what it is that I'm trying to offer. Can I be that person? Maybe it's your goal to open the studio where people are coming in to view your products. I've seen a few people do that, but I think that would be great in your neck of the woods. If you can find a place, and I'm not encouraging you to go out and look for a retail space. It's not just a bad thing, but it's something you got to think through. Much larger investment. But is there going to be more of a need for that? Is that going to work for you? Could you do that? Could you have a place where people are coming in and looking at the different venues that you've somehow curated and provide that information? Could you be the person that is the go-to person for weddings in your neck of the woods that knows all about the venues? Maybe you just focus on venues. You know every little place, every little nook and cranny where someone could possibly have a wedding. That's your focus. Then your social media platform should reflect that. All of a sudden now, you've increased the likelihood that someone's going to want to do business with you because you're doing something that not everyone else is doing, but people are in need of that. People want to find venues, and it's not just about going online and looking at directories. They want to talk to someone who knows the deal. Do you think venues are going to pay you to represent them? I'm sure they would. So you have to decide, I think, in order to make this thing work for you, is to get a little corner that is you. You want to be the specialist. And then position your social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, what am I missing? Twitter, and make sure that's the stuff that you're talking about and sharing. It's not going to always be about that, but that's your angle. Maybe you're sharing, you know, if you're the venue specialist, the wedding venue specialist in your area, you're making sure that you visit each place, you take pictures, you show video. Maybe you can show how to set a table. I mean, that if you're working with a few venues that don't have staff and people, it's sort of like a bare bones place, and your clients can come, people can come in and just set up the wedding themselves, set it up, break it down. Then you show people, this is how you set up a table. This is how you swag a tablecloth. This is how you would set up. I've seen a lot of weddings where they have the ceremony and the reception in the same room. Not a fan of that. They don't turn the room. So the table's already set up and then they have the ceremony. Maybe you show someone how to do that the right way so it doesn't look cheesy. And you spend your time posting about things like that. So you're giving information, but people are still going to come to you when they need help because social media is all about giving and exchanging. But you're taking a certain position, a certain angle. And I think you'll fare better when you do things that way, whether it's social media, whether it's your website, whether when you're speaking to someone. But take a corner of this wedding industry and make that yours. I think that is the key for us making money and actually being able to set, you know, get away from the 9-to-5 and making this wedding business work. Because I think if you're a general wedding planner, you're going to struggle to make money. I think you're going to struggle to make money. Someone asked, how do you find people to train? Someone asked that, right? Where do you find these people to train? It's not hard. Who asked me that question? Who said that? Who asked me that question? Where do you find people? I can't keep up. I saw it in the chat, but someone asked, where do you find people to train? People want to be in this wedding industry. Denise. Thank you, Sweetie. So you put it out there. If you're in social media, which is what we're talking about, and you say that you're hosting an informational seminar about becoming a wedding planner, totally free, in your area, how many people do you think are going to show up for that? Whether you do it virtually, online, you know, online, or if you do it at an actual location, people are going to sign up for that. But you're sharing information. You're telling them what they need to do, but you're not telling them how to do it. The key is when they come, you tell them, if you want to learn how, I'm holding a class next month. This is the fee for the class. Please join me. Not everyone's going to take you up on it, but a few people will. You do a class. And what you've done now, you've got some income coming in, but you're also setting yourself up as an expert. And you've also got a roster of people that you have trained and you can now bring on board to for your wedding business. Almost like a mentorship. But instead of being, they're paying you for you to mentor them. Just like that. Of course, you have to know your onions. You have to know what it is you're talking about. But that's what I mean about looking at different ways as to how we can do what it is we do. It's not just a straightforward, someone's getting married, I want to help them plan the wedding from beginning to end. It's different. We've got to come at it a little differently. So I don't know if any of this has helped you. It was more of a chat session. I'm not a social media pro, but I definitely am seeing it's opening up my eyes to different opportunities. I'm meeting different people, hearing from different people. And I think if we think a little bit, put some planning into it as to how we want to appear, what is our brand, then I think it can work for us. But I think you really do have to take some time and decide which platforms are for you. More importantly, which platforms are your clients on, your potential clients? Because you don't want to waste time being someplace where they are not. Okay? That's about it. We've been here for about an hour. This is episode 379, so you'll look for it at weddingsforliving.com/379. I'd still love to hear your input about social media, and then we can just post the audio files on the episode. So the number to call is 202-681-2126, and let me know how social media is working for you. Is it a thumbs up, thumbs down? And just pick a platform or two and go with that. Don't worry so much about what everyone's doing. And realize that you want people to come back to you, to your website, and be ready for them when they come. So spend some time deciding what it is that you want people to do when they arrive at your home, when they come to your website. Do you want them to call you? Tell them to call you. Do you want them to give you your email? Tell them to give you their email. You want them to come into your office? Tell them you want them to come into your office. Be ready for that. Don't just leave it as a vague thing they'll figure out. You got to tell them what it is you want them to do. Otherwise, all the social media stuff is for the birds. It really doesn't help. As always, lots of love and success. Our next live show will be the first Saturday in March, and it'll actually be the last live show for a few months because we're heading into wedding season. But I'll update you with all that information via email. Take care. Let me just make sure I tell you what my Twitter handle again, Debbie Quain. Wed for a Living, and I'm on Google+, and Weddings for Living is on Facebook, and I think that's it. Did I miss anything? I think that's it. As always, keep going. Take care. Talk to you soon.